We have an exciting weekend coming up. Next weekend, we have our Northeast Conference. And I really just want to encourage everyone to come out as much as you can. The Bible College, there's going to be 15 or so people from the Bible College coming up. And Victoria, and then also Jesse Fires and a bunch of guys. I think mostly guys. There's like 10 guys and 5 ladies coming up. And then Stephen and Iwana will be up here too. So they're coming. And then also Pastor Schaller and Pastor Sterling Johnson and his wife from Brooklyn. The group from Utica, group from Malta, New York. They're all coming out. Green, Maine. Where else? Where are we? Searsmont, Maine. What's the other Maine? Turner, Maine. They're all coming down. And then also from the Berkshires, from Peabody. Yeah, Peabody. So that'll be a great time. Stowe, everyone from Central Mass also will be representing. What's that? Yeah. Yeah, so we'll pack it out. It'll be a good time. And these times are refreshing, right? Just to be with the body of Christ and see, like, the Bible College guys are excited about what they're doing. Pastor Schaller has been just focused on the mission and on the purpose of the church in this time. And then to be together with the Northeast churches and say, hey, we're all together. We're up here in the same area praying for each other, encouraging each other. We want to see what's happening for Summer Harvest in the area this year and how can we support each other and be a part of building each other's churches, right? Isn't that cool? We're all up here in the same mission, the same purpose, and we could be helping each other. So, but that can only happen because we actually know each other. So here we are getting together. And then the cantata, of course. Pray for the cantata. Pray for it. It's coming up. We have the practices have begun, right? Groups meeting here and there. And then just pray for every detail. Because, yeah, it's exciting. This is our 10th one. We skipped 2 years. I don't know if anyone noticed. We took 2 years off, and now we're back to it. So keep those things in prayer, and be ready for God to answer prayer. Isn't that interesting? We pray, and then God does something, and we're like, whoa, 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 whoa. And he's like, hey, no, you asked me. You asked me to bless you. You asked me to... Have you ever said, Lord, I just want to be used by you. Would you motivate me? And then he uses you, and you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. And he's like, hey, this is what you asked for. Right? I'm answering your prayer. You say, would you put someone into my life I can disciple? And then someone's there, and you're like, man, this guy's driving me nuts. The guy's like, hey, this is what you asked for. It's what I think with Brian all the time. Yeah. No, it's good. Okay, Lord Jesus, thank you for this evening. Thank you for speaking to us clearly, Lord, that you lead us, you direct us, you answer prayers. And we just think of all the needs that we have in the body of Christ, Lord. We know so many things happening with work, with moving, with family, with school, all of this stuff, Lord, relationships. We just give them all to you and ask that you would move in a mighty way, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, open with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And maybe we'll just kind of breeze through the first 3 chapters of Ephesians tonight. Just a quick jaunt through the book of Ephesians. But actually, there's a consistent theme throughout the book of Ephesians that actually is pretty clear. So we'll go through and see some of those things. We spoke this morning about having an answer for isolation, right? Isolation. How many people have felt that isolation? Big response from the message this morning, right? Text messages and conversations afterwards. So hallelujah. That's always encouraging. But the idea of 1 Peter chapter 5, that the devil is a roaring lion, right? And he is constantly doing 2 things. Constantly seeking and constantly devouring. And that in his seeking, he kind of like isolates, right? Circles us off. I know, my nature documentaries, I love them. But the wolves, have you seen a pack of wolves chasing a herd of deer or something? What will they do? They chase the whole, but then they try to angle and cut someone off, right? Isolate them. So if we think the devil is this way where he is, the hounds of hell are circling, right? And they're trying to isolate us. And we feel it. We feel that it's easy to be isolated. It's easy to be on my own. And in the last couple of years, we've been saying this and maybe even trying to wake ourselves up out of it. Not us, but, you know, each other. That it's easy to not be together. And there are plenty of excuses to not gather. Right? There's enough excuses anyway, right? With busyness and schedule and all this kind of stuff. But now we added COVID to the equation, and it's just, you know, it was good to be separate for a while. Wasn't that fun? A couple weeks. Just give it a couple weeks. I mean, well, we met a couple years, but that's okay. No, but we were cautious. But then we got to the point where we're like, hold on. We're actually compromising our health by protecting our health so much. Right? So we said we're opening up. Remember, does anybody remember the definitive moment? I told you, yeah. Driving past Bolton Street Liquors. And it said, we are open for your needs during this time. And I called Pastor Doug. I said, we're opening up. It can't be that the liquor store is the one making that statement, right? Because how does that help? It doesn't. It doesn't. And actually, there have been a lot of problems in this time, right? So we say that it's important for us as believers to be together. Together. Pastor Stevens used to say it all the time, there's no Lone Ranger Christians. Right? Remember the Lone Ranger? Yeah. Well, who's his sidekick, Tonto? Tonto. Was Tonto always there? He was? Okay. Tonto. Huh? Yeah, I remember watching it as a kid, but maybe I didn't pick up on all the nuances. But anyway, there's no Lone Ranger Christian. There is. It could be. And a lot of people say, well, Paul was in Arabia for 3 years by himself. And we can say, yeah, but then after that, he was never alone. Right? He was always with the body. Every time Paul travels, you see this list of guys that are with him, or ladies that are with him, couples that are with him. And actually, I meant to mention this morning, but read Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16 is an amazing chapter on the body of Christ, because Paul mentions by name, I think it's 37 individuals, that he writes the book of Romans, which is the greatest doctrinal statement written. Every Christian doctrine is there in the book of Romans, from, you know, justification by faith to election to all of it. It's all there. Paul presents it masterfully with the arguments and the counter-arguments, and it's amazing. But then how does he end it? He ends it with this, like, gentleness and this prayer for people. 37 people by name he mentions in Romans chapter 16. Amazing. That's what it's all, that's it, the body of Christ. I could be so right doctrinally, but have no fellowship, and I'm imbalanced. I'm imbalanced, right? I just want to argue about doctrine. Like, no. That's not the body of Christ. But actually, I could have all the doctrine, and all the doctrine could lead me into the body of Christ and have a great fellowship and simplicity. Right? So here in Ephesians chapter 2, we see also this shift that happens from individual to corporate. Like we preached this morning from Romans chapter 8, 14 through 17, and we saw where it went from you to we. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of God, the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And we suffer, and we are glorified. Like it turns, it changes. So here in Ephesians 2, the same thing happens. Verse 1. You he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. Okay, on my own, how am I doing? You are dead in trespasses and sins. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Okay, this is the roaring lion. He works in the children and the sons of disobedience. The course of this world, we spoke years ago about the rhythm of the rhythm of this world and then the rhythm of grace, right? So you are walking according to the rhythm of this world. Have you seen it? Is there a rhythm in the world? There is, and it repeats, and you hear it. The language, you can hear certain sayings repeated across multiple platforms. How is that? Because there, it's in rhythm with It's in rhythm with the prince of the power of the air. He puts it into the airwaves. It's interesting, right? The same different people who are not connected by any way have the same conversation happening. It's because there's a rhythm in the world, and the prince of the power of the air is setting the marching orders, and this is what you do. But in that, there's individual. It's individual, right? You are on your own. You don't have an advocate, but you have a roaring lion who is seeking, constantly seeking and constantly devouring. Okay, so how do we do? And he says, verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as the others. But God, here's the different rhythm we said, you know, it's a different rhythm, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love wherewith he loved us. Right? Wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in trespasses and sin, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Whenever Paul is talking to the church, it is always, it is an inclusive thing. We have been saved. He put us into... He has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The believer is always included in the body of Christ. Right? The believer in all of these epistles, he's not writing to the outlier. Right? But he is writing to the body of Christ. That in the ages to come, okay, so we are sitting together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So this is an eternal display. The kindness of God is expressed in the body of Christ for eternity. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Right? We're not. It's not about us. It's not about the individual. Isn't that amazing? Church is not about the individual. And if it becomes about the individual, then it's missing its point. Right? I mean, we've seen in the past few years, and there was another one this week, about these mega churches and mega leaders in failure. Right? And I mean, I don't want to criticize. Because, but by the grace of God, I'm in the same position. But also, is the church something where it's about celebrity? It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be celebrity. And I mean, the one that happened this week, I read the article, I read the report, and I'm like, it's a shame. It's a shame. Why? Because this guy got himself in a compromising situation. Because, like, there's a church event, but then there's alcohol connected to it, and then he finds himself knocking on a woman's door in the middle of the night. Like, what are you doing? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's okay. But that idea doesn't sound good. And if that was your pastor, I think you'd be worried, right? So what is this? But this is hidden, and this is buried for a while because of the influence. Right? We say, well, there's good stuff happening here, so let's just kind of hope that that doesn't get found out. But what do we know about iniquity? You can't hide it, can you? Can you hide it? How did Moses do? Where did he bury the Egyptian? In the sand. What happens in the desert? The wind blows and the bones are exposed. Right? Right. Well, how about I live my life in a way that I don't have to bury anything in the sand? Because the life of sin, I can't do anything else. I can't deal with it. How about I have integrity and I honor God in my actions? And yes, I could fail, but I repent. I repent and I live my life in the open. So the church is not about the celebrity. And it can't be. Here it is, right here, right? Not of works, lest anyone should boast. What happens when the guy says, everyone's here to see me? No, they're not. They shouldn't be. What did they come to Jesus? They came to Philip and they said, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." It's one of my favorite verses. They came to Philip, the Greeks, and I think it's John 12. They said, "We wish to see Jesus." Right? And the disciples' job is to bring them to Jesus. And then he disappears from the scene. It's perfect. Anyway, just a little annoyed by that. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." That we should walk in them, right? The work of the church is in the body of Christ. The body of Christ also is not in the individual. The pastor and the leadership of the church is a gift to the church to equip the church for ministry, right? I love this church because everyone is active. So many people are ready to get in the action. It's amazing. When the pandemic kicked off, we had more people call saying, "I'm willing, I can help if people have need." I had more calls about people wanting to help than people who needed help. And that what that did was it allowed us to go into the community and help. Like, what a gift, right? What a gift. We had restaurants call the church and say, "Hey, we know you're connected with the community. Can we give you these meals? And we trust that you would distribute them where they need to go." Right? So it was so much fun. I was like the prime rib Santa Claus. I was driving around. I had 10 prime rib dinners in the back of my truck, and I'm just driving around delivering them. It was so much fun, right? Why is that? I say it because it's about our church is about this. It's about the body of Christ. It's not about the individual, any one individual. Beth did Missions Monday the other day. How was it? I heard you just killed it. It's on YouTube. You can look it up. All right, so the church in Baltimore does a missions. Every Monday, they do a broadcast of Missions Monday. It's on YouTube. And Beth was a part of it. And I'm so encouraged by that because Beth is honored, and I love it, right? We said that this morning. When one of our people is honored, we are so excited for it, aren't we? It could be the other way. It could be like, well, why didn't they call me? Why didn't they call my wife? I'm jealous. Actually, they did call me and I forgot to answer the phone. I did. Two or three months ago, I was supposed to do one and I'm like mowing the lawn. No, it wasn't mowing the lawn. It must have been 6 months ago then. I was supposed to do one and I look at my phone after I mowed the lawn and it was like 16 calls from the Baltimore church. I'm like, huh, I wonder what that's all about. Anyway, we love it, don't we? We love it when one of our body members is honored. We love it. So, This is what happened. So here now, let's look at a few verses. We're just going to breeze through chapter 2, 3, and 4 of Ephesians and see the togetherness of the church. Right? Okay, verse 13. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." You who were far off, the context is talking about the difference between Jew and Gentile, but now that is gone, and now it is anybody who would believe in Christ. But also, at whatever distance you are from Christ, he is able to bring you near by the blood of Christ. And what does he bring you near? He brings you near to himself, but in that, he brings you near to the congregation. Whenever you read about the Christ in his court, in his throne room, there is a presence there. He's never alone. He's bringing people in. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23 says, "You've come onto Mount Zion to an innumerable host of angels and to the church made perfect," right? And then to the just men made perfect. But it talks about a kind, we go to somebody in a group of people. We are brought near. We are drawn in by the blood of Christ. Then we can go to chapter 3. And this is the mystery of the church that is revealed. Verse 5, he says, "Which in other ages not made known to the sons of men, as it is has now been revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, the apostles and the prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. All right, so now we are fellow heirs. Right? Fellow heirs, there is a more than one, and there is the same body, and then partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Verse 8, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable riches of Christ. And that means, Kenneth Wiest does an amazing study on this verse, and it means that whatever is searchable and understandable about our galaxy, this is beyond it. The unsearchable riches of Christ. How much have we figured out about our galaxy? Not very much. Right, not very much. Noah gave me a statistic the other day. We've only discovered 25% of the Earth's oceans. There's still 75% of the oceans we don't even know what's going on down there. Isn't that wild? That there's stuff down there we have no idea what it is. Armindo's been down there with his flippers. He's been down there with his flippers and his spear gun. He said, "I'll tell you what's in the other 75%." Yeah, we don't know. But then, so there's that we know so little about the earth we live in. You know what I read recently? That they found two new, like, blobs of molten lava underneath Africa, and then one underneath America, maybe. And it's this liquid, a whole nother pot of liquid. I don't know how to explain it. Just this giant mass of liquid that they didn't know was there. They knew a little bit, but then they did another scan and they found out there was so much more. And they say, we have no idea what this is all about. But God does, doesn't he? And just think, like, maybe that giant pocket of liquid under Africa is necessary for everything to be as balanced as it is, right? And it, or is that what's reserved for the earth to be burnt in fervent heat? Like, that's part of it too. But God knows what its purpose is. We don't even know. Right? We don't even know. We've been here for thousands of years. We don't even know what we're standing on. Right? Okay, and then you leave and you go into the atmosphere and into space, and then we have our galaxy, and then there are other galaxies and all of these things. And we don't, there, that is what is searchable to us. But then beyond that, there is the riches of Christ. So if we think, like we talk, I know God, we can say, I know God loves me, I know God is gracious. No, no. We have an idea, and we glory in it, and we love it. But there is so much more that we have no idea about. And it's not that he doesn't want to show us, but it's that he can't, because our minds would explode. Right? But we have eternity to be figuring it out and to be learning it as a body, right? As a group. Okay, and so here it is. So the unsearchable riches of Christ, verse 9, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Okay, so the unsearchable riches of Christ are connected with the fellowship of the mystery. The fellowship of the mystery Paul is talking about is the church. That there is a mystery hidden from times past that is revealed now, and it's the church, the body of Christ. And now when we say church, we have a million opinions of what church is, right? Everyone has a different idea, however you grew up, whatever version of it you see, or you, whatever, everyone has a different idea. But what we mean by the body of Christ or the church is God's people put together. So the fellowship of the mystery is where we learn the unsearchable riches of Christ. We see it. There is, in many ways, there is the worship, the singing that we do, that we pray together, we sing together, we preach the Word of God, we have fellowship in the Word, but also there is the expression of people in the body of Christ. Like we said this morning, coming out of isolation and into the body of Christ, we realize that it is what we need, right? To have a conversation with someone face to face, right? Instead of having the goggles on. Right? Metaverse, Oculus, goggles, right? Remember when I was a kid, if I sat too close to the TV, my dad would say, like, get away from the TV, you're going to burn your eyes. Now we put the goggles, like, right, suction cup to our face, right, so our eyeballs are in the screen. Right? Somehow it's good for you, though. But isn't it backwards? This virtual world is backwards. And to us, maybe we think that's crazy. No, this is like what the devil would like, that it would be an impersonal world. An impersonal world where everyone is an individual. I have a lot to say about this, right? About social media, it's so tailored to the individual, so that you and I could have similar opinions and similar views, but even the presentation to us on social media could branch us somewhere. So that my view of the world is so individualistic, and it is so tailored to me, and then when you don't see it the way I see it, then we have a schism. But if everybody has a different view, then how can there be unity? Right? Like, we are made for this, to be in the room and being able to be in the room with different opinions and being able to tolerate each other and love each other beyond our opinions. And our words would not be fired out of, not be like kindled by our disagreement, but it would be kindled by our unity. James talks about the tongue. The whole book of James is about the tongue. You have the ability with your tongue to bless and to curse. This little thing, la 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 la, right? I got this tongue, la 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 la, I can't control, la 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 la. And it gets me into sin, la 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 la. Anybody? No. Now I'm embarrassed. Like, it is. And what does he say? He said, in the fire that is ignited in your tongue is hellfire, right? This little tongue, right? The smallest member, but just like the ship, the little rudder can turn the whole ship. Or the bridle in the horse's mouth can turn this beast, can be directed by this little bit, right? The bit? Carolyn? The bit? And the bridle? What's the bridle? The thing? There we go. The bit and bridle. There we go. The little thing. So when we use our words in the body of Christ, we are not careless. Not careless. Oh, no, no, no. We value our communication. We have fun, right? We joke around, and maybe sometimes we go too far because we just always roast Pastor Doug. He loves it. But and Mark had a good joke the other night. Don't say it again. That was a good joke. It was a couple Wednesdays ago. Save it for the wrap. Save it for the wrap. But we can get a little careless. But let's be valuing our communication. Why? Because of who I'm communicating to, right? I'm communicating to. And in the way that we address each other in the church is what? Brother and sister. Isn't that great? Brother and sister. I think it is designed by God, and I think it's in this way that's my brother. So I'm gonna check my communication before I let it fly. Because it's not just another person, it's my brother or it's my sister. And I have the ability to build them up in Christ, but I also have the ability to burn it down. All right, so value it. And don't be flippant with your communications. Okay? Because this is the fellowship of the mystery. It's not something common. Okay, now where are we? Verse 15. Okay, verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Lord, to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The whole family in heaven and in earth. This is it. We have a family, and we are named after Christ. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Oh, sorry, that wasn't part of it. But the family, okay? So we've had fellow heirs, same body, partakers, fellowship of the mystery, whole family. All of these words are the theme of this book. Now we can go to chapter 4, verse 3. Or that's verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Now here, I beseech you, walk worthy of the calling. The calling is about people, right? The calling is not about the individual. Like, walk worthy of the calling. And what we've seen is are these words, together, fellowship, right, unity, like all of this stuff is a part of the calling. And he says, with all lowliness and gentleness, with all lowliness and gentleness. This maybe is not natural to everybody here up here in New England. Lowliness and gentleness. How about a sarcasm and cynicism, right? That would be the boss, that would be the letter to the Bostonians, right? But instead, lowliness and gentleness with long suffering, right? Long suffering. What does that mean? Well, we just said it, right? Long suffering means that I can go through some things and it's okay. We pray, we pray, we pray, we pray. Don't we pray? We pray for family, we pray for situations, we pray for our relationships, we pray. Sometimes we don't get the answer we want, right? But isn't that still an answer? It is. Just because God says no to what we want doesn't mean he doesn't love us. Actually, it could mean that there's something better that he has prepared. Could be. Or it could be that he has something prepared for the body instead of the individual, right? And he's calling me into the body of Christ instead of into my own little kingdom. Like Brian, I joke with Brian about the drum kit up on the stage. I'm like, man, we built this nice big open stage and now the drum kingdom. I said, you're building your own kingdom on stage. It's all about you in there, right? Now you have lights in there. And my gosh, right? He's getting microphones. No, I'm just kidding. It's good. No, I love it. I love it. I'm just joking. I give Brian a hard time. But it's about the body of Christ, right? With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Bearing with one another in love. What does this mean? It means it might not be convenient for me. That it might be that I have to carry some weight that I don't want to. But I am bearing with you in it. And it is more so about the person than about the inconvenience to me. Bearing one another with one another in love. Because love is the thing that can make the difference. I mean, if you have been in discipleship or if you have helped people in need, you have borne people along. And I tell you, it's not easy. It's not easy. I'm sorry, I laugh at this. Just have an image in my mind where we had a guy staying with us and he was going through some stuff, right? And I left the cabinet, he left the cabinet door open and then he went and got a bowl of chili and then he went to walk and bam, right into the cabinet door. He went down hard and the chili went flying across the kitchen. But he was, that was like the funny moment of him staying with us, right? Because otherwise it was difficult. But hey, he got on his feet, hallelujah. And I know that people in here have done that for other people, and it's amazing. It's amazing. What do we? Why do we do it? We do it because we love people. All right. So, now, verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So, you walking worthy of your calling, and loving people, enduring people, bearing one another in love, is your endeavoring to keep the unity. Because this person, knowing that they are a member of the body of Christ, is more important to me than me getting what I want. This is an endeavoring to keep the unity. And then in that, you show someone else. You are giving a testimony. And you are showing someone else that we can love each other. We can help each other. We can pray with each other. I was blessed this morning looking out at, after church, looking out and people were praying together in the aisles, just praying together. And I thought, hallelujah. It's amazing. I just agreed with the prayer in my heart, and I loved it. But then look here in verse 4. We're getting there. Verse 4, there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Right? So there's one in all. They're like the all are brought into one. The individual is brought in and is part of the group, and we are all in one. And then we go down to verse 12. And this is the gifts of the Spirit. The pastor, teacher, verse 11, is given, verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So what is the work of the ministry? It's the edifying of the body of Christ, the building of the body of Christ. I don't want our mission to be at the cost of the body of Christ. The healthy body of Christ is the greatest light in the world. So we endeavor to keep the unity, and we are active in encouraging the body of Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body joined together, knit together by that every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So that's saying that everybody is an important part of the body of Christ. And when we all believe that and we all take that serious, then we are all encouraged and we are all edified and the body of Christ is built. Verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying. This is good advice, huh? Putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. We are not deceitful in the body of Christ, but we speak the truth. Speaking the truth in love, what does that mean? We joke about it sometimes, but we need to be also understand what it does mean. It doesn't mean that I say whatever I want to say, and then I say, but it's okay, I love you. Right? Speaking the truth in love doesn't give you liberty to speak your mind about other people's business. We do that. We say, like, people would go off and they say, it's okay, I'm just speaking the truth in love, just being obedient to Scripture. It's like, well, you could have just mind your own business and leave me alone. But speaking the truth in love, it means that I speak to you and I look at you the way Christ sees you. And I want to speak truth into your life that is rooted in the love of Christ. Right? That's it. I want to be encouraging and edifying and building you in truth. There is enough stuff out there that can break us down in a second. Right? We got enough of that. When we come in here, we need to be built. We need to be encouraged. Now, in discipleship, right, there's difference, and we challenge each other. We want to see each other grow, and then when I have that investment with people, I can have a little more liberty, right? Like, we need to challenge, but not everybody, right? If everybody in the church is just challenging everybody else, then it just turns into it's just a little contentious, right? But instead, speaking the truth in love is just speaking the truth of Christ to each other. Be angry and do not sin. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Amazing. Could we do that? We could. We could. Huh? It's great to do it. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Imparting grace to the hearers. Yeah. Pay no attention to the little lady across the back. Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I want to have malice towards bitterness instead of malice towards people, right? Isn't that good? Malice towards clamor. What is clamor? What is clamor? Yeah, like background noise. Like, have you ever, if you have kids, you've had this. You try to have a conversation. Yeah, like this was clamor, right? This is a perfect example. This is clamor. We're trying to pay, and then the noise. Right, clamor. Like clamor, when Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13 that without love, it's like a clanging cymbal. Right? Like like I don't need that. It's interruptive noise. Evil speaking, put it away from you with malice. And here we go. This is one of my favorite verses. And be kind to one another. Simple, huh? Be kind. My God, be kind to one another. We don't need it. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. In what way? Even as God in Christ forgave you. So there you go. If you ever have a question, how much am I supposed to forgive? And consider how much God has forgiven you. And then realize that's how much you can forgive other people. Isn't that great? So those chapters, I mean, we could keep going through the book and see this theme of togetherness, unity, fellowship, fellow, together. All of it is there. But I think that's a good sample, right? And it makes the point that the body of Christ is important to God, is very important to Him. And we have the great privilege to be a part of it and to affect it in a positive way. Right? So let's ask that God would use us in a positive way to edify and build the body of Christ. And now we're going into cantata season. And I'm telling you, during the cantata, you see the gifts of people's gifts expressed in an amazing way. Like we were looking into where we could get a rooster. It was before Ryan came back, and we didn't have any. We needed a rooster for the scene where Peter denied Christ, and then Armindo just stepped right in, and he was a rooster. That's it. Yeah, it's the Portuguese symbol, right? Comes with the passport. You got to do a rooster call. You don't get your Portuguese passport unless you can sound like a rooster, right? No, but you see, like you see people in the body of Christ expressing their gifts and in the kitchen, right? Carlos and Eric, and they're in the kitchen and they're like totally like Carlos is in the kitchen. He's just totally relaxed. He's like, this is just a normal day for me. What, 80 people in the kitchen? No problem, right? Just welcome to another day at the Torres home. Right? But he has joy in being there serving people, right? And making sure it's ready for people. It's beautiful. Mary and Beth checking people in, right? And just so loving people. It's amazing. And then Beth is in the back at the end in the tent in the back or wherever we are. I don't know where we are. In the tent or the basement. Just loving people and making sure they know that Christ loves them. Right? So it's amazing. I love it. So this cantata for us is more than just a play. It's more than a production, but it's body life. And it's where we are used in a way we are able to use our gifts, but also we are able to see each other use your gifts. Honestly, we could do this without an audience, and I think we would get just as much out of it. But then people are there, we're like, oh, look, there's people here. Oh, wow, that's cool. We'll sing for you. Right? But anyway, so... read Ephesians. I gave you a lot of homework today, I know. Read this, read that, but it's good to read the Bible. So, amen. Lord, thank you for this letter written to us, and thank you for the body of Christ that you've given to us, and that we can be together in you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.